Food is fuel for your body, your mind, and definitely your sport. But let's face it, nutrition is confusing, and the expectations on girls and women to be thin and have a six-pack are exhausting. If you've ever been frustrated with your body, confused about nutrition, obsessed with eating healthy, or guilty when you don't, underate, overate, or overtrained, and overwhelmed with all the pressure, then this podcast is for you. Nutrition can be easy. You can take control of it, but it might start with letting go of control by asking for help and making a change. I'm Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, sports dietitian and owner of Rise Up Nutrition, where I empower female athletes to overcome nutrition concerns and perform at their highest level, to stop being confused by all the mixed or harmful messages, and finally have confidence in your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. Today's episode is thanks to our Patreon members and our affiliates and partners. Head to patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition to join our membership or donate to the podcast, and stay tuned to hear about some amazing deals and discounts from our partners, including Prevenix, Inside Tracker, Orgain, Practice Better, and Jen and Carrie. But for now, we're getting right to the show. Enjoy. Hi, fans and listeners. Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, your host of the podcast, owner of Rise Up Nutrition, sports dietitian. And I'm here with another dietitian guest. I really enjoy having other dietitians come on the show just to share more about their experiences. So here we have Marissa Casella. She is the senior performance dietitian at IMG Academy. Marissa grew up in southern New Jersey and received her undergraduate degree in nutrition and dietetics at Immaculate University in Pennsylvania while a member of the D3 volleyball team. She then completed her dietetic internship in Philadelphia while simultaneously earning her master's degree in nutrition and food science from the University of Southern Mississippi. Working her way to a leadership role on the performance nutrition team in just 2 years, Marissa has recently begun her third year at IMG Academy and currently works with the girls and boys lacrosse program, girls tennis program, and girls volleyball program while helping to support the performance nutrition department with other teams on campus as needed. In her daily role, she supports the student athletes through group education sessions, live coaching at sport, one-on-one consultations, traveling fueling, and more. Marissa is also a part of the Girls Experience Project at IMG Academy, which aims to improve the overall satisfaction of the female athletes on campus experience through different initiatives among numerous departments, such as a coach education to improve comfortability around discussions in the female athlete menstrual cycle. So Marissa, thank you for being willing to come on the podcast and talk to our audience.
Absolutely. Excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And I already dove into it in reading your bio a little bit, but I love to just start in asking our guests about kind of their personal passion for sport and their journey with sport. And also, especially for you as a dietitian, when your personal passion for nutrition began. So kind of just want to dive into the fact that you were a D3 volleyball athlete in college, which is so amazing. Was volleyball always your like main sport growing up, or did you dabble in other things too?
Yeah, absolutely dabbled in other things as well. Volleyball wasn't huge where I grew up, so I didn't really get into volleyball, actually physically playing volleyball, until about eighth grade. I just did a little club kind of learn and understand just the rules of volleyball and how to swing and pass and all that good stuff. And then once I started at the high school level, I went to an all-girls school for high school, so it was very small, but I played volleyball. And then I also was very interested in playing lacrosse. I grew up going to professional, it's called the NLL, the National Lacrosse League. And so it's very similar to hockey. So it's like 5-on-5 indoor in that rink size.
Oh, yeah.
League. And so my dad and I grew up, we had season tickets, so we always went. And so I was always very excited to play. And once I got to that high school level, I decided to play. And as I said, went to a pretty small school. So definitely had some opportunity to get lots of playing time in both of those sports, and just the ability to play both because they were opposite seasons, which was really cool as well. But yeah, kind of went on, did club volleyball as I got into sophomore, junior year of high school while still doing lacrosse and volleyball for my high school team. And then as I kind of went along in club, I was able to get recruited by a Division III school, Immaculata University, and she came and watched at a couple games and was able to go there. They also had a really great nutrition program. There was only about six schools within a 3-hour vicinity mm-hmm. that had nutrition. And I was kind of in between Immaculata University and Westchester. At Immaculata, I was guaranteed a spot on the team. They had a small program, so I knew I would get a lot of that hands-on experience with my professors, with preceptors and things like that as well. So that was eventually the decision that I ended up making. But to backtrack a little bit about how I got into nutrition as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure, as you know, as you're getting into junior year of high school, parents start getting on you of what are you going to study? What are you going to go to school for? And I knew I wanted to help people. I just truly had no idea how I would do that. So I started to look at different avenues, physical therapy, things like that. And then ended up actually getting diagnosed with celiac disease when I was a junior. It was like a week before my 17th birthday. Yeah. And we were at a volleyball tournament and everything. So that was fun. But ended up getting diagnosed with celiac disease. We were pretty close to Philadelphia. And so we drove up to CHOP, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, met with a dietitian there. And at the time, I had no idea what a dietitian was.
Yeah.
And she was super, super helpful, very patient. She took me and my entire crew, because we travel in packs in my family. There was like 10 of us that came to the hospital. She brought us into our own room and she had a presentation, but she also was very interactive, just there to answer questions, understanding how confusing of a new situation I was in, and just having to kind of reevaluate everything that I ate, how I ate things, and how I was going to be able to get the proper nutrition in while being restricted in so many ways. And so I was kind of walking out that day and talked to my mom a little bit, and I was like, I could do that. I could see myself helping people like me, people that need to be helped in my way. And then obviously, as I became an athlete and got into the collegiate space there, I knew I wanted to get into sports somehow. And it's a bit of an overwhelming experience to have to get it to feel like you have to get your foot in the door at first. And so after my internship, just kind of looked everywhere, was able to get a position outpatient and still live at home, because as we know, we pay to do our dietetic internship. And so
yeah,
we didn't have money for rent at the time. And my parents were very, very nice and let me live with them for the time being. And so worked at a hospital outpatient, knew I liked that one-on-one. I learned that through my internship experience as well, where I just love to work one-on-one with individuals to help them get to their goals. And then I was able to, it was actually one of my coworkers sent over an opportunity with Drexel University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it.
And they were doing, for the first time, they were doing a sports performance fellowship. And so applied for that, was able to get that a few months down the road. So I had a little bit of time to kind of transition out of my current role so they could get in a new outpatient dietitian as well. And then got some very awesome experience there working with the Philadelphia Union and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms as well. And that their hockey team, the minor league hockey team there. And so did a lot of different things with that. And then obviously got to educate the collegiate athletes as well. So did some work with the boys lacrosse team, a couple team talks here and there and things like that. Worked in the fueling station. So that was kind of my first exposure to it, because at a Division III school, we just didn't have those types of things.
No,
we didn't have a school dietitian, let alone a sports dietitian. And so really kind of getting immersed into that environment and learning about all the different resources that the athletes had there was super cool and really, really ignited my passion for sports nutrition.
Yeah, fascinating. I'm taking notes because there's things I want to dive into with you.
Yeah.
I love that personal experience, that when you had that life experience where you needed a dietitian. I'm just so glad to hear that you had a positive experience with this dietitian, and then that motivated you to say, I want to do that too. You know, I want to be able to help people, because this is such a difficult time in somebody's life when, for medical reasons, a dietary change is needed. You know, I think celiac disease is that perfect, like, you know, example of that, oh my goodness, like if you continue down the path of eating the way that you were, you know, it's harmful to your body.
Absolutely.
The intestines of your intestines truly get damaged, and then you become nutrient deficient and you feel awful. But that is so difficult. You know, another thing would be, you know, a late onset diabetes diagnosis. I had a friend in college diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Actually, this was in grad school at age, you know, 22, 23. And it was like, whoa, this is a huge learning curve of changing how I've been doing something. And you know, the work that I do, I really strongly promote having an all-inclusive diet as much of a free approach to fueling as possible. But there are certain situations where you need to find that balance of freedom with food while still adhering to certain principles that truly keep you healthy. And that poses a lot of issues, especially you were in high school at the time. You know, that's something that I think is easier for adults to grasp and really, you know, challenging to find acceptance as just a teenager. So
absolutely. I think, and for me too, the journey to get diagnosed was a very challenging, very long, painful one. And where I was getting from so many doctors just hearing, oh, you don't eat the right things. You're not doing this and that. You're not eating enough fiber. And I was a little girl and I just remember saying to my mom, like, I'm eating exactly the way like my friends are, exactly the same way that my friends are. And so why am I experiencing pain every single day? We had the principal involved at one point where they thought I was getting bullied, and they were like, because I was in a nurse's office every other day in grade school. And I remember being woken up one day from, I was napping, so I was in so much pain. And they were like, hey, your parents are here and the principal's here, and we just want to have a quick chat with you. And they wanted to help support me.
Yeah.
That there was a reason that I was leaving class as much as I was. And I was like, no, truly, like, I'm in pain and I can't concentrate because I'm in so much pain. And I even remember in basketball practice, freshman year, I also played basketball practice, or played basketball for 1 year, was not very good. So I really honed in on the whole volleyball and lacrosse thing. But yeah. I remember like sitting on the stage, because we had a stage in our gym as well, small high school. And I remember just laying there during a practice on my stomach because I could not get myself to play.
Yeah.
And so just being understood and being heard, I think, is something that I'm super passionate about. Developing those relationships to really understand where my student athletes are coming from has been so huge and so influential in my journey as a dietitian.
I agree completely. I think that having some level of a personal experience just to be, you know, having walked in somebody else's shoes gives you such a better understanding to provide compassion, empathy, understanding, and really take their problems seriously.
Absolutely.
You know,
and creating that culture that makes them feel comfortable having those conversations. I mean, a lot of the work that we're doing with the girls here on campus, with the female athletes on campus here, is creating that culture that is going to make them comfortable to have those conversations, specifically if we're not getting our period for certain amounts of times, and them understanding that that's not normal. That's not how we want to, you know, once it used to be this badge of honor that, oh, you know, you're training at a really high level. You're there. You're with those elite athletes. And we know now, obviously, as dietitians, that can have different negative impacts in their future, bone health, fertility, things like that. And so them just understanding like, oh, wow, I should be getting my period every single month. So we're really working to create that culture and that environment where they're educated, but then they also feel comfortable to have those conversations with whoever they want to. It's not that they have to have that conversation with me because I'm their dietitian. Maybe there's a coach, maybe there's a strength coach, there's an athletic trainer that they're more comfortable with. And so just empowering the employees to create that culture and then also know how to handle those conversations.
Which brings up another just question that I have for you. What was it like going to an all-girls high school? Like, were conversations about menstrual cycles and boobs while playing sports like had more often? I don't know. I went to a co-ed high school, and I also, I did gymnastics, which was a female gymnastics team. But then I did track and field, where the boys and girls teams are super close.
Yeah.
And in college, I did track and field as well. Like, girls and boys practices are, it's a different team, but we're doing practices at the same time, and you're all together. And so it was even more uncomfortable to have those conversations when the guys are right next to you, you know? So what was your experiences going to an all-girls high school? Did that make those conversations harder, easier, or you don't know?
That's a super good question, because I don't think about that, those types of things, just because I lived through it and don't even think about the other side of it a lot of times.
Yeah.
But no, we talked about that stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. Like hairy legs, periods, if we are cramps, our boobs hurting and things like that. Also bowel movements and all that kind of stuff. It was definitely talked about more so, I imagine, than it would have been at a co-ed. And it's, you also bring up another really good point with, even here at the academy, we have track and field and then golf. They're two programs that I worked with my first 2 years here, and they're both co-ed sports. So they practice, they train, they lift, do everything together, females and males. And so, but then like boys lacrosse and girls lacrosse, who I'm with now, they're separate completely.
Right.
Girls is AM sport, boys is a PM sport. And so they don't even really get too much interaction, period. And so definitely those girls are more vocal about it. You can hear it more at practice than other teams that are more co-ed. So really, really great point there.
And I believe too, in my experiences working at the collegiate level and clients I've worked with, swim is another sport where the male and female teams kind of overlap quite a bit, just in the closeness of it. You know, yeah, it's different. It's like, okay, well, male baseball is like a completely different sport than female softball. They're two totally different sports, but then you get to track and field, swimming, it's like they're the same sport, just different, you know, segregated by sexes. And it does make, I think, those female specific and possibly male specific topics a little more difficult to have under those situations.
Yes. And so that's something too that I've started to kind of implement. I know with golf last year, specifically the middle school girls, they were having a lot of conversation around body image and talking about it in a negative way. And so that we have an amazing female coach over there. Her name's Whitney. And she reached out to me and was like, "Hey, I'm hearing these things." I always say coaches are the greatest advocates for these kids so much because they're the ones that are with them way more than anybody else. I'm across four different sports. They only had their sport. So they're able to really get to know these kids and hear the things that they're talking about. And so she reached out to me and said, "Hey, like, I'm hearing this a lot. And I really think that the girls could benefit from a conversation with you." And so took in just the middle school girls in the session. And we talked about what our body does for us and different ways that we can respect our body. And then I kind of got into social media as well of what are we seeing on our social media? How are those images making us feel? How are those videos making us feel? And then how can we kind of hone in what we're seeing on our feed to make us feel happy or motivated and positive versus not so great about ourselves? And so I think that continuation of those conversations is just so important, especially at this young age where they're so, I always forget the word. What is the word? When they're
impressionable?
Yeah, I guess so. And so just when these female athletes and male athletes are so impressionable at this age, it's great for them to have our support to have those conversations as well.
Hey fans, I hope you are enjoying this conversation so far, and we'll be back to it in just a moment. But first, I want to pause and let you know that this episode is brought to you by the Female Athlete System of Transformation, aka the Fast Track to overcome disordered eating and use food as fuel to perform at your highest level. The Female Athlete System of Transformation is my unique program and proven systems to guide female athletes to understanding and implementing the proper nutrition for their sport, life, and health. Myself and my team of registered sports dietitians work one-on-one with clients to address their unique needs and counsel them through the nutritional and behavioral changes needed. Many female athletes who resonate with disordered eating, mental guilt around food and body, relative energy deficiency in sport or female athlete triad, amenorrhea, repeat injuries due to negligent nutrition, or frankly, just a lack of knowledge and understanding on their fueling needs, have seen incredible success in the Fast Track. After years of working as a sports RD, I've compiled the most effective ways for female athletes to learn nutrition, be supported, be challenged, and ultimately find their success with fueling as fast as possible. So don't wait another day. Get to your goals faster by joining the Female Athlete System of Transformation. Look in the show notes or head to the website to book a free call and learn more. Okay, now let's get you back to the conversation. Enjoy. Yeah, absolutely. And so just to continue this conversation about the Girls Experience Project at IMG. So you know, you're making that effort to have these conversations with the female athlete teams. Is there anything else that kind of goes into this Girls Experience Project? You know, kind of like, obviously this is a benefit of athletes being at IMG, but just like, what are kind of some highlights of what this program aims to do?
Yeah, so it's actually school wide. It's not just so. I'm one of the performance dietitians, and we're within the athletic and personal development department. And so under that is nutrition. We have athletic training, mental conditioning. We have strength and conditioning, and we have sports science and leadership as well. Mm-hmm. So there's those six pillars. And we all do is we're all here to support support staff, basically, of the sports. So we are here to support those student athletes in ways that potentially the coaches aren't trained to, or we're experts in those fields, so we're able to help. But so we have our APD Girls Experience initiatives, but then across campus, there's other initiatives as well. One of the big highlights, I would say, that we've worked on these last few months and have been very successful at is making sure that there's period products or, you know, menstrual cycle products in all the female bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, they might not be like super, super fancy ones, but they're there. There's pads, there's tampons, there's panty liners in every single female bathroom.
Yeah, because I mean, how often throughout your life have you gone to a public restroom, been in an emergency, and they have that little machine, 25 cents for a tampon, and it doesn't work or it's empty?
Hasn't worked in years.
Yes, hasn't worked in years. I mean, I have at least two specific memories of like, mm-hmm. I think one of them, oh my gosh, so embarrassing. I was like totally on a date.
Oh.
And then like, so it wasn't with friends, nothing. Yeah. It wasn't something I could like go back to the table and be like, hold on a second. You like know, I felt so uncomfortable. And I came out of the bathroom and like went up to a random table of seemingly nice looking women and was like, I'm so sorry, but do you have a tampon? You know? And like, these are those situations, like stories, you know? And it's like, you know what? You do what you got to do. But, and those women, I, you know, of course, we're like, oh my gosh, you poor thing. We've all been there, you know, because we've all been there. But how great of, you know, a campus initiative to make sure, mm-hmm. or a sports program initiative to make sure that, you know, we're not putting our athletes or students in that uncomfortable position unnecessarily.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And that story's clearly stuck with you, for that to come off of your time, because it did. And it's times like that where we're really trying, situations like that we're really trying to make more comfortable and to just diminish overall, where they're not in that situation. I mean, there could also be students that it might be their first time, so they don't even have them, right?
Right.
And so just having that support, and then again, kind of what I mentioned earlier about just creating that environment where they're comfortable to then go to somebody and ask for help, because they're not going to know how to use all of these products the first time that they're using them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's been a really cool one. Really excited to get, every time I see them in there, I'm like, yes, you know, it's a win. It makes us feel really good. It makes us feel like we're making a difference. And I've heard feedback from the girls and just the student athletes of, yeah, they're in there. And I'm always like, all right, let me know if they're not. We'll make sure that they get in there. And so just for them to feel supported in that way is super cool. I would say another highlight that's been really cool to see change on campus is just the visibility of female athletes. So mm-hmm. it might have been totally an overshadow, something that we just didn't even notice as an academy, but it seemed to be that there were a lot more pictures of winning or championship winning teams that were males.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a big football poster in front of the stadium. We had like two or three baseball, football, soccer posters as you drive onto campus. And there were no female athlete pictures. And first year, girls soccer won the championship, the Florida State championship. And so of course you know it, that picture has been up there. So it's really cool to see that the girls feeling represented and appreciated and supported in that way. Those little things can go a long way. And so those have been some really cool ones.
Yeah, they really do. I love that you guys caught that ooh. And I think it can work backwards as well, where that's great that because the team won, we're going to highlight them. But also by showing more visibility of female teams, even before they're a winning team.
Absolutely.
You mm-hmm. know, that helps them with like kind of, whether it be their motivation, you know, hey, like our picture's up, we gotta, you know, fill in the role or step up to the plate, or getting more fans to support them or more donors to donate, which boosts the whole program. It's like, it's great to show off a female athlete or a female team because of the great work they've done. And it's even great to show them regardless of that, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you bring up such a good point in my mind of even on social media, it felt like there were potentially more male athletes being shown on our social media pages, because we have one for every program and then the overall academy one as well. But in the grand scheme of it, there's more male athletes on campus. There's more male students on campus. So, you know, they could potentially have been putting out some female athlete pictures, but it just still felt more lopsided on the side of males.
Yeah.
And we want that equality, of course. We want everybody to feel supported, but making sure that the females also see themselves as they're scrolling on their Instagram.
Right.
And I think that the marketing team has done a really great job pushing that. I mean, this year we just got girls volleyball on campus. So that's a totally female sport that we now have on campus to hopefully up those numbers, up that experience of just the overall females on campus as well. So there's definitely some really cool progress being made on this campus and in the virtual space as well.
Okay. So I have another story that is a different topic, but you just like reminded me of it.
Let's hear it.
So speaking of like getting the right images that connect and things like that, I became a mother two years ago to my firstborn and was able to breastfeed him. And around 3 months into my breastfeeding journey, I went to a lactation consultant for help with that. This is a female specific job to feed my child.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I have a wonderful supportive husband. If he needed to give a bottle, he did from time to time. Male's role and a father's role in parenting is so important. And I think as a country, people are trying to maybe equalize the playing field of parenting, as it should be. You were both parents to this child. But I went into this lactation consultant appointment, and I still have pictures on my phone of this. There were about 10 pictures in the room. 8 of them included a male. 6 of them were exclusively men giving a bottle, men holding the baby to their chest. So 6 exclusively male, I think, and a few others that were the male and woman or mother and father together with the baby. And then there was 1 picture of a woman breastfeeding.
Wow.
And that was one of those things where I'm like, okay, I see what they're trying to do here, which is to be inclusive. But actually what you're doing is you are excluding me and my unique journey as a breastfeeding mother. And I told them, I said, this is wrong. I said, my husband's not here at a lactation consultant appointment. I'm here. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm doing this. Right. Show pictures of me up here.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I was so upset. I was so upset. I was so turned off. Yeah. So I know this is a slightly different topic, but we're just talking about the visibility of female needs right mm-hmm. now and the importance of seeing yourself, right? So whether that's a female athlete, she's going to come to IMG Academy, participate on a team. She's going to want to see female athlete pictures and representation of her in the same way that me as a mother, I wanted to see representation of my unique experiences Absolutely. At that lactation consultant. It's different.
It is.
And we need to respect that.
Yeah, I mean, come on. At least equal or more women than males. I get to having the males there, but
yes,
that is. It's kind of like, especially when you're already there and what you were there, obviously needing support and needing
Needing support. I walked in there needing support and I felt like that was a slap in the face. Oh yeah. My goodness. Okay. So that was a slight tangent in topics, but the importance of like needing support for you specifically with, you know, your just being a girl, being a female, being a woman, whatever it might be. And so I'm a huge fan. I love that what you're explaining, what's going on at IMG Academy. Yes, it's in the nutrition role. You know, helping there with body image, fuel for your menstrual cycle, but it's beyond that. It's a campus-wide initiative. Absolutely. And I love hearing that and just, you know, lifting girls up, really.
I think even kind of not really relevant to your story, but kind of where it's just shown in so many different ways. We see it and it influences us maybe without us realizing or other people realizing nice. From seeing that. I think about Nebraska and just the amazing work that the girls volleyball program is doing over there, where they just, was it Nebraska? Uh-oh. I think it was.
We can double check.
Let me Google it really fast. They just played a game.
Yep. Nebraska hosted Omaha. Is that what I read? Wow.
So, and it was like 93,000 people, 92,000 people.
Yes. Wow. And looking at those images, that's awesome. That football stadium is packed.
Yeah. I don't think they had, it was sold out. They did not have
wow.
seats available to purchase, which was so crazy. So I know I botched that story clearly, but.
No, thank you for sharing that. And yeah, we had to Google it, but and looking up that image, that is that's so exciting. That gets me so excited for girls volleyball, for female sports.
Mm-hmm. Female sports in general, right? Like it's people, I love it. Like just seeing all the things with soccer, women's soccer and the views that they're getting. It's like, if we show it on national television, people will watch it. People will go to these games if you have them in big stadiums. It's not just, you know, men's sports is not the only sports that people want to watch. It's female sports as well. And so I think it's just so cool to see the potential growth there with situations like that.
Yeah. So, and I think to backtrack a little bit, because we started talking about the campus wide initiative at IMG and things like that. And some people might not know what IMG is. I'm personally familiar with it because I lived in Florida for a little bit. You're based in Florida. Is it Sarasota, Tampa?
Bradenton, technically.
Bradenton. So right outside of that area.
Yeah, we're 25 minutes north of Sarasota and about 50 minutes south of Tampa. So we're a little bit below Tampa.
Okay. Beautiful area, by the way.
It's so beautiful. Can't get enough of the palm trees. That's for sure.
I love the Gulf side of Florida is just beautiful. I lived there for quite some time. So anyways, Can you just kind of give us a little background for our listeners who are like, IMG sports campus, but it's not a college? Like, what is IMG Academy?
Absolutely. So you step foot on IMG's campus, you will think you're at a university or a college. It's beautiful. It's very large. It has state-of-the-art facilities and equipment and staff. It is a boarding school. So we have the majority of our student athletes live on campus. We also do have a number of student athletes that live off of campus. They're all pretty local, though, typically, again, living Sarasota, Bradenton area.
Yeah.
And then basically all of the very large majority of our students are athletes as well. There is maybe a handful of students that just go here for school. We also do have a program. It's called APD, which is Athletic and Personal Development, which is the umbrella that I'm under, the department that I'm in. And it's where basically if a student plays a sport that we don't offer here, so we have 9 sports, and if they play a sport that we don't offer, they're able to still get all of our services, the nutrition, the mental performance side, the athletic training, the strength and conditioning, the leadership. They're able to still get those while they go off of campus to practice their sport, to train in their sport. Uh-huh. And so that's a really cool program that we actually didn't have anybody my first year because it was still during COVID. But last year we had a few and this year we have a few. So it's kind of cool to see that side of it as well. But basically, like I said, we do have our 9 sports that we offer on campus, and the kids basically will do sport for half of the day and then they're schooling for the other half of the day. So they have block schedules. They usually have 3 classes a day, and then the other half of the day they'll play their sport. So it's nice sectioned off that way. They do have the time for deliver workshops with nutrition, with mental performance, with leadership. They have time to go to get treatment with the athletic trainers. They have time to go to lifts. And then they also do their sport practice for 2 hours a day. So it is a quite intensive place to be. They have very full schedules, but it's really a very conducive environment for that holistic learning to develop these students, these children, as young adults, as athletes, if that is where they want to go in the future, and to just educate them on how to fuel their bodies, how to deal with struggles in the middle of a game. So you have those skills to be able to cope with pressure and adversity and things like that while you're on the court or the field. And so it's just a very, very all-encompassing place where you can get pretty much everything that you need here. The kids eat here, they sleep here, they go to school here, they go to practice here. So they don't really need to leave campus for much. And it's a very cool space. And then we also have the IMG Academy Plus, which is a newer part of IMG Academy. And it's in the virtual space. So if people cannot come here, be full-time students here for a number of different reasons, they're able to still get some of what we offer here in the virtual space. So right now we have nutrition and mental performance. So performance nutrition and mental performance. And so they can do packages where they can meet weekly, monthly, things like that. And then they're able to meet one-on-one with a dietitian or a mental performance coach and help and get support that way. Yeah. And so it's just been a really cool addition. It's booming. And then we work with NCSA as well, which is college placement. And so it's just all encompassing. There's so much opportunity here, and it's just really cool place. But like I said, it looks like a college campus when you're here.
and so what age, high school age for sure, but you also mentioned like middle school age, like what age or what grades or ages does
it? Absolutely. So it's typically from 6th grade. And so we actually have a post-grad. So we go through 12th, then we also have that additional post-grad year. If there's any reason that an athlete needs to get a bit more exposure, more support, they've had an injury, anything along those lines during their high school experience, they're able to get a post-grad year here where they do take college classes, college level classes, and they're able to train they're going to be on the national team because they can't play on like the varsity team against anybody that's younger. So they will be on the national teams as well, but it depends on the sport, but they're pretty good sized programs as well. So it kind of changes the number of the kids that are in that program, but they're still very much involved with the other athletes at sport and things like that, and in workshops and things as well.
Thanks to Inside Tracker, I can get insights and feedback on my blood biomarkers whenever I want to. No more waiting for doctor's visits and them telling you, you're fine. Instead, you are in control of your health with Inside Tracker. For 20% off any of their products, blood biomarker testing, DNA kit, interage, head to InsideTracker.com and use the code RISEUP. Take your health into your own hands.
Health, wellness, and fitness coaches, listen up. Practice Better is the all-in-one platform that I use to manage my business and my clients. From client scheduling and messaging, hosting sessions, taking notes, creating modules, invoicing, telehealth, building reports, and more, Practice Better is the better way to manage your practice as a nutrition or health or fitness coach. Look no further. Use the link in our show notes and use the code RISEUP20 for 20% off your first 4 months plus a 14-day free trial. I've been using Practice Better since the inception of my business, Rise Up Nutrition, and I couldn't be happier. Again, the code is RISEUP20, all caps. Use the link in our show notes for 20% off your first 4 months and a 14-day free trial. Let's get back to the episode.
So when I think about like a boarding school or even like college style, because that's kind of like how this is set up, I think about, you know, applying to that school. But then when I think about being on a sports team, I think about, you know, doing tryouts. And this is really both. This is, you know, IMG Academy with school was basically founded on the premise that everybody here is a student athlete and on a team, which is not like most schools where athletics is an option.
Right.
But it's not like the focus. And this is so different about IMG. So, you know, I don't know if you know, but like, is it tryouts? Is it applications? Is it both somehow?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so we definitely do have very high elite level athletes, but then we also have a pretty large amount of developmental athletes. So athletes that are just wanting to get into the sport, that are pretty new at the sport, that want to hone in on certain skills. So we have a lot of different levels of that skill set. And so basically, if you are accepted to come here as a student, you will be, and you want to play a sport, you will play a sport.
Okay.
So it's just where you'll be placed amongst the different levels.
Which sport and which level. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you'll be Absolutely. Placed. Okay. Good to know. Yeah. Well, thanks for backtracking, just kind of giving us that Sorry. Background on IMG. And you've already shared a bit about your role nutritionally is supporting, you know, the specific teams with one-on-one consults, you know, fuel while they're traveling, game competition, nutrition, all of that. And then the girls project of having those body image conversations or menstrual cycle conversations and how that relates to nutrition. One other topic I wanted to dive into while we still have time today, is just the fact that you are in Florida and a lot of your sports are outdoor sports. And one of the biggest concerns here when we think about nutrition is actually hydration. Mm-hmm. And not too specific of a question, but just how do you handle or what are some of your nutrition hydration protocols that you follow and encourage for your athletes?
Yes, absolutely. So hydration is huge. I think I talk about hydration at least multiple times per day when I'm here at the Academy. It is hot. Even though it is October, it is hot. And it was actually interesting. One of the strength coaches the other day was talking to our girls lacrosse team after they did some conditioning. And he was like, you know, it's fall in the rest of the world, but here it's still summer temperatures. And so we still need to be hydrating. We need to be resting and recovering our bodies in the same way as we would in the summertime because it's still really hot. We're still sweating a lot. You're still wearing equipment. And especially for a lot of our teams, football, lacrosse, soccer, sometimes on turf, it's confusing. And for a lot of our sports that do play outside, they're on turf. And so that's even hotter. And so especially when they're out there middle of the day, it's super hot, always humid. And so hydration is actually it is the first thing that we talk about in any group setting with any of our teams, with any of our sports. All the dietitians across the board, we've come together, we've made that decision that hydration is the number one thing we talk about. Same goes for our campers in the summertime. That's always the first thing that we talk about is hydration, regardless of the type of camp that they're in. If they're having access to a dietitian, we're talking to them about hydration. I know the athletic trainers do a really great job of educating the staff and the coaches, the sport coaches, on the severity and the seriousness of heat illness, heat stroke. Yeah. Before camp starts in the summertime, when we're still in the spring, they do educations with all the coaches. They also send out every single day during the summertime, in the morning and in the afternoon, it's called a wet bulb globe temperature. And basically it's a number and it takes into consideration the temperature, the humidity, things like that. And it gives us a number. And then they have all of the different basically rules that the coaches need to follow. So do they need more water breaks? They need less time of playing in between those water breaks and things like that. So that education side of it is really great. And then also obviously with the kids, we're always making sure that they're educated with their gear bags or their swag. They always we're sponsored by Gatorade, so they always get a Gatorade water bottle. Last year they got two. They got the insulated one and then just the regular plastic one.
Oh, nice.
Fancy. Yeah, those are so nice. I need my water cold. So
yeah, the insulation makes a difference. And it does physiologically as well with actually hydrating you better in the heat. And then also it's more thirst quenching and enjoyable, so you're more likely to drink more.
Exactly. That's why I always encourage the kids. I'm like, I know it sounds silly, but having a water bottle that you like to drink out of is subconsciously going to encourage you to drink more water.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, if you like drinking out of a straw, get a water bottle with a straw in it, or use a tumbler. If you like it cold, get something that's going to keep it cold. Because you could have your whole water bottle full of ice and 5 minutes later at your outside, it's gone. It's melted.
Yeah.
And so if that's going to encourage you to drink more, like, go for it. And like I mentioned before, we have a sponsorship with Gatorade. And so there's always one of those large jugs at practice, one of water and at least one of water and at least one of Gatorade as well. And I know our dietitians do a really good job of communicating with the coaches. For example, last year I was out at practice, and that's a way that we kind of relate to the kids and kind of connect to the kids and build those relationships. It's also a really great place to observe who's missing time at practice because they're cramping.
Yeah.
Because they're dehydrated, right? And so things we like to be at sport a lot as well. But it helps us have these types of conversations, and where the boys one day were like, oh, coach, like, I want to drink the Gatorade, but it's just watered down. It doesn't taste good. And I'm like, okay, we can fix that. And so I go right up to one of the coaches and I'm like, hey, the boys wanted a little bit more concentrated. Can we maybe add some more powder next for the rest of, you know, the semester? Yeah. Forever. And they're like, oh, absolutely. And the next day I come out there, the guy's like, it's so much better.
Right.
And so I'm like, all we have to do is have these little side conversations that can really make a difference. Mm-hmm. I've also done fun things, kind of, you know, we try to make some things competitions. It gets the kids engaged. It gets them excited. We know they're competitive people because they all play sports. And so we've done it across different sports. Specifically, I know football has done it. National basketball has done it. And then I do it with my entire lacrosse program, boys lacrosse program, where I weigh them before practice and after practice. Not every day. I do it like every 2 weeks just to kind of get them aware of it. I always say, I don't care what the number on the scale is. That means nothing to me. It's what that difference is. When I'm weighing you before practice and after practice, how much are you losing? Mm-hmm. And for them, it's so many times it's been like, holy crap, no way I lost 8 pounds in an hour and a half practice. I'm like, yes, you are wearing all this equipment. It's 2 p.m. in the afternoon. You're on turf. There's no clouds in the sky. Like, it's really hot. And so for them, it kind of like wakes them up and they realize. And that light bulb is what's so cool for me to see. And be like, oh, wow, yeah. Okay. And then from there, I'm able to give them recommendations on how much they should be drinking to replenish that fluid that they've lost. And so,
yeah,
you know, we make, again, that competition piece of it. I'll bring up those. I'm like, who was in the red? Who was in the green? Or how many reds did we have this week? How many green did we have this week? How do we make that? How do we improve that number? How do we get more greens and less reds? And so it's definitely started to make a difference the more consistent I am with it. And it's just kind of fun. You know, they like to see the numbers and see how they're like, oh yeah, I drank a lot today, coach. Like, and so it's really cool to get them invested about that way.
You know, I grew up north like you in Massachusetts, but I moved down to Florida when I was about 22. And then I've lived in Florida, Georgia, and now Texas. And so I've been an all warm client since then. But it was an eye opener, not just as a dietitian, but I'll say first as an athlete myself, when I shifted from Massachusetts down to Florida and started training in Florida, how much I sweat, my sodium losses, how important hydration and electrolytes were, truly blew my mind. Where, you know, coming from Massachusetts, I was like, ah, Gatorade, like, yeah, whatever, like, sometimes cool if I like it, but I didn't feel that need for it. Mm-hmm. The amount of sweat loss and sodium loss, it was an essential thing. It was like, oh, this is what Gatorade is for, you know, among other products as well. But, you know, I think it really made a huge difference. So I want to, you know, just double tap on the importance of that in these hot and humid environments in athletics, you know, and if you need to work with a dietitian who understands that and has done sweat rate testing. So then, you know, through myself personally, through my clients, I also worked with our military for a bit in both Florida and Texas. Again, hot, humid environments, lots of gear and layers. And absolutely, we would see 5, 8, 10 pounds of water loss. This is not body fat loss.
Yes.
This is water loss. And this is this can be extreme dehydration as well, and very, very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Having emergency protocols in place. I love, like you said, monitoring the temperature and having how many stop breaks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, that might not directly seem like a dietitian's role, but it is, because if you're the one tracking, you know, hydration losses, then you're setting that precedent for the other policies that need to be in place to educate a coach. We need more water breaks. They need to hydrate more.
Exactly. I can use that in our meetings. We meet weekly with the coaches and I can say, hey, like, they're really struggling. We're having higher incidence of cramping, of injuries, and this is definitely playing a role. And you have those relationships with the coaches where you're able to have those conversations to, again, then help the athletes. That's what we're here to do. We're here to help support the students.
And advocating for certain products. Like you said, IMG is sponsored by Gatorade, but there's Gatorade, there's Gator, I don't know if they still have them, but like their electrolytes, their endurance or performance line fuel stuff. And there's different products for these unique needs. I mean, I am a supporter of Gatorade as a great sports beverage, but actually there's certain situations, heat, humidity, where it's actually not enough electrolytes, right? But they offer other products, and Gatorade or other brands offer other products to supplement to that and add more sodium, more potassium.
Yeah. And our trainers are always out at practice and they are always carrying the Gatorlyte packets because we also get those, which is great. And so they're 750 milligrams of sodium. Plus, it's recommended that you're putting them into a Gatorade. So that's even additional.
On top of that.
Yeah. Right. And so again, I think I do have some athletes that kind of wait till the last minute and then they're relying on that. So my goal is to educate them. So
preventative.
But it's something to have in case of those situations for sure. And I think as well as the electrolytes, it's important to talk about the carbohydrate intake there as well, because I have a lot of athletes that are afraid of carbohydrates, don't think they need carbohydrates, don't understand the impacts of carbohydrates with energy, but then also with hydration. And so teaching them the ins and outs of that part of it too is really, really crucial for living down here.
Right. And the fact that those carbohydrates actually help absorb the hydration into the cells of your body, into your muscles, support your muscle glycogen. You need carbohydrates there to be not just fueled, but hydrated as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's a lot of products on the market now that are just, you know, marketed as low carb or no sugar electrolytes. And I'm like,
and sports drinks when they have 10 milligrams of sodium in them.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not a sports drink. This is just a beverage and great. Right. You can choose that to hydrate, but that's actually not tailored for athletes and sports. And I love that you shared that the amount there, that Gatorlytes are like over 700 milligrams and supposed to be added to your Gatorade. So it's much more, because I do want to normalize, you know, we live in a society that probably makes you worried about your salt content. But again, when you're an athlete, excessive sweating, heat, humidity, long training practices, and you can lose 2, 5, 8 pounds in a practice, that you can be losing a minimum of 500 milligrams up to 5,000 milligrams of sodium just in a training session. So, you know, our general nutrition guidance of consuming, you know, 2,400 milligrams a day of sodium is nothing when you just sweat out 4,000 in a 2-hour practice.
Exactly. And I get that all the time. Like, kids are honestly, they're great questions that the kids ask me. And they're like, but I thought salt was bad for you. And I'm like, that's a fair statement. Like, we're always told how bad salt is and sugar is. And for athletes, they're very, very beneficial things for you to consume consistently throughout the day. So it's that piece of, as well, just explaining to them all the misinformation out there. And again, like you just said so well, they're a different population than the general.
Yeah. And I also think this is why it is important to have a sports dietitian, though, when you're training at a high level, because it can be risky. Like you said, like one of your number one nutrition topics at IMG is hydration, because it's a big risk. Heat stroke, heat failure, that is a huge risk to somebody's, not just performance, their life, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And electrolytes get real tricky too. They really do. You know, hyponatremia exists of having low sodium, but you also can sodium overload. So it's a weird balance because, and I'm sharing this now because I would say 9 out of 10 of my clients are underdoing the sodium, and I'm always telling them, you need more, you need more, you need more.
Right.
And then I had one client that was having all these issues, and I finally dug into things. It wasn't her electrolyte supplements, her actual food that she was choosing. She was using a lot of seasoning packets that naturally have sodium in them, or seasoning packet. So I don't know if the word is naturally right, but she was like dousing her food in this like chili lime salt, like really like covering it. And we actually ran into where she was then her hydration was off because of too much sodium, right? It's so, I just want to really advocate for our profession of sports dietitians. Like you said, you were testing, you're doing sweat rate testing. You can do electrolyte testing when you're hands-on on site as well. And I think that level of personalization is key. I have a client right now preparing for a marathon this weekend. And for a long time, we were working on her not focusing on numbers and data to include not stepping on the scale. Mm-hmm. That was really important. As we've worked together for nearly 6 months now, she has a better relationship with the scale, mostly because she's avoided it, but we've reframed her mindset with it. Yeah. And now we could add in, she was having some difficulty with her hydration plan for the marathon. We could add in the sweat rate testing of stepping on the scale pre and post run. And we've done it on a few different occasions. And we're able to use that data to construct a better hydration plan. And it's just so important to respect, I think, the nuances of sports nutrition.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, everybody eats, so everybody thinks that they understand all the ins and outs to it. And there really are things that we can get to the nitty gritty of to actually make these huge differences in their performance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think even kind of going back to that of how important it is to have a dietitian on present in so many different environments is there will be students with high blood pressure and things like that. And so for us to
individualization.
Know that, so then we can then give appropriate recommendations to those athletes is huge too, because we're saying, you know, you need all the salt, you need all the salt, you need all the salt, and their blood pressure is already high. Like we don't want to make that any worse. And so it's really important that you have people have the training and the education.
And going back to your personal experience too, as somebody with celiac disease, here we are as sports dietitians being like carbs, carbs, carbs. Well, you need to customize that to somebody with celiac disease, you can still have carbohydrates, but which ones are they available? You know, are they in the dining hall? Which products can we buy that are safe? And, you know, these are difficult. These are really important things to navigate. So, you know, in one level, people think, you know, we can definitely, I want to encourage that nutrition can be easy and we want to make it easy and simplify. And that's why educating is just so important. How to build your performance plate, how to have readily available snacks, pick out your favorite water bottle so you're more hydrated more often. But then when you have these performance goals, having that sports dietitian is key to really tailor it to your unique needs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's huge. It's great.
Well, I feel like that really, like, I'm looking at the time and I feel like that was like almost the perfect closure.
It flew by. That's for sure.
Yes. But I do have just like two more minutes of conversation with questions that I ask every one of my guests at the end of the podcast. So
let's hear it.
We've got a few. Here we go. If there was one food that you could eat every single day for the rest of your life and never get sick of it, what would it be?
Ooh, if I can kind of cheat and say in all the different forms, potatoes would be one food, because I literally eat a potato most days and they're just as good.
Great carbohydrate source for somebody with celiac. And so many, you can always switch it up. Roasted, baked, mashed, crispy, soft, fries, potato fries, sweet potato, purple potatoes, white potatoes, red potatoes.
You get color there too, right?
Great answer. What is your favorite sport to participate in yourself?
Oh, probably volleyball. We took the girls the other day, quick story, very quick. We took the team the other day to the beach just to get a bit of a change of scenery, play some beach. They did, their strength coach went out there with them and did an agility session as well. So just different, we're so close here, which is awesome. So taking advantage of it is so nice.
Yeah.
But me and the mental coach finally convinced ourselves after about 50 minutes of watching the girls play, like, should we try? I was like, okay, we'll try, but hopefully nobody watches. And lo and behold, of course, the coach recorded it. And I realized how out of shape I am. It's different. It is a different sport on the beach for sure.
Oh yeah.
It was, but so much fun to play indoor, outdoor, whatever.
Yeah. I dabbled when I lived in Florida. Beach volleyball is very different, but fun.
Yes.
How about as a spectator? What's your favorite sport to watch?
I'm probably going back to growing up, just lacrosse, boys, girls. I like it all. I know people will say boys is more high-paced, a little fast-paced, I mean, and a little more exciting. But the girls' sport is really cool when you get to actually take in the skill that it takes to play.
It's a different skill. Yeah, I know. There's different rules in the game, so it's different. But it's with different rules come a different skill set.
Absolutely. And a smaller net makes it a lot harder to do all the cool tricks that the boys can do.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, final question. If there's a female athlete out there that you want to give a shout out to for just being an inspiration or role model for any reason, this can be somebody well-known and famous or just in your personal life. Who would that be and why?
Love that. I'd say just because she's getting back into the game right now or into the sport would be Simone Biles.
Yeah.
I think she's just been such an inspiration. She's been really one to celebrate female accomplishments mm-hmm. in sport and outside of sport, and her just coming back into it and still being amazing and incredible athlete, just a great human as well. I think I definitely want to give her a shout out.
Amazing. To Simone, of course. Well, Marissa, thank you so much for having this conversation. It was fun, enlightening, and certainly for any youth athletes or parents of youth athletes that are interested in this type of opportunity for their young child, you know, IMG is just one of those opportunities across the country. And I love the nutrition that you're building into the curriculum, really. You know, it's sports nutrition for on the field or court, but it's built into the curriculum of being students as well.
Absolutely.
So thank you again, Marissa.
Thank you so much. It was great to speak with you.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you did, if you are a true fan of female athlete nutrition, then I would love if you could support our podcast by spreading the word. Share a review on your listening channel. Give us 5 stars. It really helps get the word out and get the show more views to positively impact others. Also, you can support the podcast by joining our Patreon. Head to patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition to consider a donation, or even better, join our membership where you get extra monthly content and perks. We don't want you to simply listen alone. We want you to be a part of a community and a movement of fierce, fit, and fueled female athletes. So patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition is where you can do exactly that, learn more, and join. A huge thanks to our affiliates and partners as well. Once again, Prevenix, Inside Tracker, Orgain, Practice Better, Jen and Carrie, please go check them out and their links in the show notes where you can get deals and discounts. Last, be sure that you do more than just listen. If you need help with fueling, it's time to take action. Head to my website to learn more. You can either book a free call with me to learn more about our coaching programs and how we can work directly with you, whether it's the fast track or otherwise. Or you can take our online self-study course, Female Athlete Nutrition. You can literally sign up and gain access right now. You can explore our downloadable products, including the Red S Recovery Guide, High Iron Fueling Guide, or if you are a coach of a team, check out our brand new Coaches Toolkit for teams. You can also just learn more. We have a blog, a Red S quiz to see if Red S is affecting you. If you need help, I want you to get help fast. Too many girls and athletes struggle with nutrition, but you don't have to any longer. You can rise up with the power of nutrition, take action today in any of these avenues, and become fierce, fit, and fueled. Links in the show notes, and we'll see you next time.